Join me if you have your Bible with you in 2 Chronicles. We've been reading every word all year. We made a covenant with each other that we would read the Bible together fully and finally. So many people, they've longed to have this thing accomplished in their heart. That I've read the whole thing cover to cover. I just dug in and I stuck with it. And I went hard after the Lord as I was reading the Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book, until it was done. And we just wanted to offer an opportunity. Let's just do this together. Let's just spur one another on. Let's get some resources. Let's finally do what we've dreamed of doing and be found faithful in the Word of God. And so that's what we've been doing. That's what we've been doing since January 1. And we've been preaching through the Bible as you read through the Bible. We've just been going along, trying to help you as you read, because honestly, some of it, you may be reading along and you're thinking to yourself, I just don't remember seeing this part before. I don't know exactly what to do with this part. I'm not sure how this part fits into the larger whole. So we've been in this agreement with each other. Jason, myself, all the staff, we've been just saying, look, what we're going to do, we're just going to walk through it with you. We're going to help you locate where you're at in the broader revelation of God, right? The revelation of the glory of God, the story, the big story, God's great big story. The God who loved you so much. Amen. The God who loved you so much that he was willing to send his son for you. The God who made you in his image. The God who set eternity in our hearts. The God who wanted us. Oh, but the fatal fall separated us all from God. God wasn't willing to leave it at that. And there was something in our hearts that always longed for the restoration, always longed for God with us. And so we kept pressing in, and we kept pressing in, and Moses led the people out of slavery and bondage, and they had this tabernacle, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, right? The presence of God, because there's something in us that longs for the presence of God. Amen. And so, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and God shows up. Highest holy day in the Old Testament, arguably. Highest holy day in the Old Testament was the day that God moved out of the tent and moved into the temple. We've been reading along. We're in 2 Chronicles. Because David had longed to build God a house. You remember that one? We read that together. David had longed to build God a house, and God said, I love your heart, but you're not the guy to do it. And it's going to fall to your son, David. David, he wanted to be hard after God. He wanted to be that man after God's own heart. And even though he couldn't build the temple, he gathered all the resources for it, more gold than you can count, more silver. All the things that would be needed to finally bring it to this God with us moment. And Solomon put his hand to that particular plow. Oh, I don't know how many years it took. I don't know how many pounds and tons of precious metal and precious stones. But there finally came a time. Let me just read this to you. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This high holy day, Solomon finally finished the work on the temple of the Lord. And he brought all the gifts his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and the various articles. And he stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. And Solomon put them to good use until finally it was finished. And here's what the people said, tail end of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. They said, he is good and his faithful love endures forever. Highest holy day in the Old Testament when the presence of God came down in the temple. It says at that moment a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests couldn't continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple, just displaced those priests. It's just simple physics. God got there so thick, the manifest presence of God, so strong, so consuming, so indwelling, so quantitative that the people couldn't even stay in the place. It was incredible. High holy day. Praise the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Highest holy day in the New Testament? What we're celebrating today. Resurrection Day. The Jesus event. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The one who gave his life for the sins of all, for my sins and yours. The one who was buried for 3 days, but the grave could not hold him. And he was raised on the third day. New life, resurrection, highest holy day. And the thing they have in common, the thing those two high holy days have in common is this: the presence of God was there. Right? Because Solomon had said this: at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. And then Solomon prayed and he said, "Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever." And Solomon prayed. He prayed and he said, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, he didn't actually pray in Jesus' name, but if he could have, he would have. "Lord, in Jesus' name, would you come and dwell in this place? In Jesus' name, would you come and be God with us? Lord, in Jesus' name, if ever there's a time when maybe famine strikes our land and we can't feed ourselves or our children, if your people who are called by your name come to this place, Lord, would you meet us here? Would you meet us here? And Lord, if ever there's a plague that comes on our land and we can't figure out how to cure it, we can't figure out how to fix ourselves, if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord, would you meet us here? Would you meet us here? And Lord, if ever an enemy were to come against your people, if ever an enemy were to come against your people and it was too great of an enemy and we couldn't stand up to it and we couldn't hold back the tide of it, Lord, if your people were to humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord, if we called on your name, would you meet us here? Would you meet us here?" God's answer to that prayer is one of the most famous verses in all the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Maybe you've heard it before, where God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land." God with us. And here's what it says. 2 Chronicles 7:1. "When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple." The glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priest couldn't stay there. The priest could not enter the temple because the Lord, the glorious presence of the Lord, filled it. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground, worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." So here's what I want to invite you into this Resurrection Sunday. Here's what I want to invite you into as we think about the presence of God. I mean, what's it going to be like if God shows up today in worship, right? What's it going to be like? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to look like if God were to just be present with us? I know. It's Easter Sunday, for crying out loud. It's a holiday. You got places to go and things to do. You got people expecting you at noon. We're supposed to get out. You don't want to be in a church that gets weird, right? And yet, what if God showed up? What if God showed up? What if the manifest presence of God were to show up? What would that look like? What would that look like? What would that feel like? Now, I'm not asking you to base your faith on your feelings, but some of you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and you know what the presence of God does for you. What would that look like? What would that feel like? What would that do in your spirit? What would that do in your heart? Have you experienced it? Have you? Some of you may have. Years ago when you were a kid, maybe at youth camp, who knows? You know, somebody's singing Kumbaya and you put the stick in the fire. And when you did that, there was this moment with Jesus, and you knew it and he knew it. When you were giving yourself to God, you were trying to enter into a relationship with God, and it worked. It worked. But somewhere between then and now, maybe your teenaged understanding of God wasn't big enough for all that life threw at you. Maybe the enemy of your soul got louder than the voice of God. Maybe the presence of every other distraction drew your eye away from the presence of God. Do you want that back? I know it's Easter Sunday, but what if God showed up? So there's this word. I remember it from when I was a boy. I used to be around a lot of Pentecostal folk, a lot of Assembly of God folk, and it rubbed off on me. Maybe you could tell. And they used to talk about the Shekinah glory of God. They talked about it like it was magical or mystical. They talked about it like it was palpable, like you could feel it, like there was a weight to it. In fact, the word doesn't actually speak of brightness or shining or lightning or thunder. What the word speaks of is the weight of the presence of God. I think about that verse in the Song of Songs where it says, I am my beloved's and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. I think about it when scripture talks about how the Lord, we hide under the shelter of his wings. I think about it when Jesus said, how many times would I have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings? Some of the saddest words in scripture. But you would not. The Shekinah glory of God. The kind of glory of God that Moses experienced on that mountain when the people saw the clouds and the lightning. But Moses came down reflecting the glory of God. The kind of glory of God that Jesus and those disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his face shined like the sun and his clothes were brighter than any fuller could make them. And Peter and James and John, they said, Lord, could we just stay here? Could we just stay here in your presence? This is too good to leave behind. There's even this line, we read it just a few weeks ago, when the Ark of the Covenant, the box of the presence, right? When the Ark of the Covenant was sort of sidetracked at the home of a man named Obed-Edom. You may not remember his story. It's only a short account in Scripture. But I love the heart of Obed-Edom, because when the presence of God was in his house, he knew it. When the presence of God was in his house, he was blessed by it. And when they came to take the Ark away, Obed-Edom said, I'm coming too. I don't want to live outside of the presence of God. I've known what it is to be outside the presence of God, and I've known what it is to be in the presence of God, and I don't want to live outside of the presence of God. He said, if you're taking God, I'm going too. There's another word I want to tell you about. I want to bring into your thinking this morning, because it's an important word. It's an important word. In fact, you see it modeled here for us in 2 Chronicles 5 and again in 2 Chronicles 7. You see it in Psalm 137. You see it all over the Old Testament. When the people erupt in a kind of praise exclamation, and it says, he is good, his faithful love endures forever. He is good, and his faithful love endures forever. Word, it grows out of it. It's really just one Hebrew word, the word hesed, but it's so much more than you can pack into one little English word. It's a word of covenant faithfulness. It's a word about the God who loves you even when there's not much to love about you. The God who is faithful to me even when I'm faithless. The God who knows you, knows what to expect out of you. And he loves you anyway. In fact, loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son so that you, me, any of us who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hesed, Shekinah, the presence of God, the weight of God, the glory of God. Highest holy day in the Old Testament, dedication of the temple. Highest holy day in the New Testament, the day we celebrate today. The day we celebrate today, the resurrection, the Christ event, death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew says it this way. I've got it marked in my Bible. Matthew says it this way. He says, when Jesus was hanging on the cross at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until about 3 o'clock. Do you remember how it says it in 2 Chronicles 5 when it says, you dwell in clouds and thick darkness? And Matthew says, Jesus is hanging on the cross and the sun goes out. Darkness covered. And the people didn't know what was going on. In fact, it goes on. It goes on to say this. It goes on to say, when Jesus shouted again and he released his spirit, by the way, when he shouted again, John tells us exactly what it was he shouted. He said, it is finished. It is done. The price is paid. The ransom is given. Freedom. Freedom. It is finished. When Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Somebody pointed out once, the only way that could happen is if it was God himself who was ripping the veil, who was tearing the veil. The veil of the temple torn in two from top to bottom because what we could not do, God has done for us. The veil is torn. It says the earth shook and the rocks were torn apart. Graves cracked open and people long dead got up and walked into the city. I'm just telling you, it got weird when God showed up. It did. It did. The reason I want to call your attention to the Shekinah glory of God and to the covenant faithfulness of God is because you may be tempted to sit here and think, Rusty, that sounds all well and good. It'd be great if God showed up. I'm just not so sure that I qualify to be in the presence of God. In fact, if you could give me a heads up when God's going to show up by your terms, if you'll just let me know, I'll just sort of slip out the back. But the Shekinah glory of God, that palpable presence of God, that qualitative, quantitative presence of God that wraps us up like his banner over me that is love. It's not all about light and lightning and beauty and splendor. Nope. Solomon said, Lord, you dwell in clouds and thick darkness. And some of you here today, despite the fact that it's Easter Sunday, despite the fact that you put on your Sunday best, right? I mean, from the time I was a kid, when it was Easter time, I'd get a new suit and a new tie. That's what mom and dad always did. I'd get a new suit and a new tie. In fact, I went yesterday and got this new shirt. What do you think? Stephanie wasn't so sure about the pink, but I thought, you know, it would work today. You put on your Sunday best. You put on your Sunday face. You show up as best you can. But in spite of that, some of you are living right now in what you would have to describe if you had integrity about it as clouds and thick darkness. I've got some good news for you. I've got it marked in my Bible. In Isaiah 57, it says this. It says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, says this. I live in the high and holy place. Amen? That's who we're here to worship today. The God who lives in the high and holy place. The God whose throne room is too holy for us, but because our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood, we go boldly before his throne of grace. He says this, he says, I live in the high and holy place and with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. With those, I dwell with the brokenhearted. Maybe that's why that day when Jesus hung on the cross, it was more appropriate to have darkness fall than to have light explode. I don't know. Maybe light exploded another time. Maybe, I don't know if you've heard of the Shroud of Turin. You heard of that? The cloth that supposedly, purportedly, is the burial shroud of Jesus. And it has this image almost burned into the fabric of the shroud. And it's like a photographic negative of a man's face and the wounds I don't know if that's for real. I don't know if it's not. My faith is not in a piece of cloth. Amen. But I heard somewhere that the only way for that to happen was if there was a sudden explosion of light, like 1,000 flash bulbs from old-timey cameras, just this explosion of light that would create this almost photographing. I don't know. Maybe if you had a camera inside the tomb when Jesus was waiting for that moment, maybe you would see. I don't know. But I do know this. That thief on the cross who could barely lift his head but said, "Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Jesus said, "Today, today, you'll be with me today." I don't know about lightning flashes and peals of thunder. I don't know about all that. But I do know that he looked down at his mother and he provided for her. And he looked down at John and he described to him a plan going forward. You may actually have a really hard time imagining that God has a plan for your life going forward, despite Easter Sunday, despite Resurrection Day. You may have something in your heart. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? You may have something in your heart that just kind of says, "That's good for you. I'm just not sure it would work for me." Precious ones, the good news of the gospel is that God is near to the brokenhearted. He comes alongside those who are crushed in spirit. He remembers my affliction. Do you remember how he said it to Moses? When the bush was burning, God spoke to Moses. He said, "I've seen the misery of my people, and I've heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I'm concerned about their suffering. So now I'm coming to their rescue." Jesus laid aside his godliness, took on the form of man, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that's why God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, whether you cry that out from the mountaintop or whether you cry that out from the depths of your dark soul, God hears you. And God comes to your rescue. And when the presence of God shows up, I don't know what it'll be like for you, but maybe it'll be palpable. Maybe it'll be quantitative. Maybe there'll be a genuine difference marked in your soul by the presence or absence of God. Because maybe you've known the presence before. But I know you've known the absence. So maybe today's the day to come home to Jesus. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day to come before him with a heart that would say this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. A heart that would say, "God, here I am. God, I know you. At least enough to know you are God and I'm not. God, I know me. I know I've sinned. I know I've come short of the glory of God, and I know I need you." Is that your heart? I need you, Jesus. I need you. And the promise of God is that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know, it's Easter Sunday. There's nothing more cliche, right, than having some kind of an experience with God on Easter Sunday. But what's the alternative? No experience with God at all? I'm not so sure you can afford to let this one slip through your fingers. If God is speaking to you, maybe you need to respond. If God is stirring something in you, maybe you shouldn't dare not to dare.